Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on BlogTalkRadio.com. This is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. Now, if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. And because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's now my pleasure to let you know that you can also hear Live Deliverance broadcast on Facebook at facebook.com/events/www.BlogTalkRadioLiveDeliverance. Also on Apple, or go to Apple podcast.apple.com/US, or you can listen to us through player.fm/series/live deliverance. So as the Lord is moving and releasing his glory all over the world, we'd like to let you know that you can get involved with this ministry. Invite some of your friends, family members, or even your coworkers to come, listen, and be blessed. Don't forget that the ministry from tonight will be available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and look for Pastor Steve Lee and the date of the broadcast. Now go ahead and get a pen and some paper so that if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. Please know that I'm here only because of what the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of the God, unto a perfect man, that we no more be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, whereby they lay in wait in cunning craftiness to deceive. But we speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, even in Christ, which is the head, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by the effectual working of every measure of every part in the making increase of the body of itself in love. Now, having said all that, let's get down to the business of the kingdom. So if you would join your hearts with me in the word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ with mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Cause me to flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me, and I'll decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of your grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, we pray. So, beloved, this is part two of a faithful word, an active word, a confirmed word. And so we just want to kind of get us prepared for what the Lord is doing and wants to do in our lives. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 16, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says that that every word should be confirmed in the mouth, or established, he says, yes. Every word should be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? God wants the words that he spoke to your life, the promises that he's made you, he wants those words to come alive. He's wanting you to see the glory of God released in your life. But when you hear a word from him, sometimes what happens is we let that word slip because of situations, circumstances, what we are looking at. And so, you know, we shouldn't do that because in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that we should not let the word slip because we need to give the more earnest heed to the word. When you don't see the promise coming to pass quickly, then go back, revisit the word, all right? Look at the word that is confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses out of the scriptures. See, we need to work with the word so that the word will work through us. I don't mean just go and remember the word. That's not a faithful word that's active. That's just a quoted word that we're making demands on, okay? This is not a la carte line where we can pick and choose. We go and we allow God to reshape our heart, our mind, our understanding, to cause us to think like he speaks, to think like he thinks, okay? Because my wife, you know, she used to tell me, I was not trying to do things that the natural man might have needed. I didn't take vitamins, which is a good supplement, but I didn't take it. And my wife said, you believe in the King James. He said, believe in that which is common also. You know, stop running your life by just a focus that does not allow God to breathe. That's the best way I can say that. There is no taking away from what he said. But when I'm holding my mind in a place where I'm just rigid because he said this one thing, then I didn't hear him say that the word is going to be confirmed or established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's go and see what else did James say. What else did Peter say about the thing that you believe in God for, about the thing that you want to be released in your life that he's already released in heaven. Okay, that's the way we pray. We pray according to what has already been released in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that I would need to know what heaven's conversations are. Amen. I didn't say heaven's conversation. I said heaven's conversation. Because that word is going to be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. See? Because sometimes we'll get a promise from God and then we'll just box it in, lock it in to the point where God cannot get the fresh that he's expecting you to receive in your life. Okay? We get locked in because we're looking for, I guess it would be basically our demand for the word. Okay? Well, God, you said this. Yes. Well, go listen at the word. Let it be established. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we can see some things that God uses that we can take as principles in our life. Okay? Yes, the word of God, it's quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But the word of God has to be established in your heart to work in your life. Look at what he said in Hebrews chapter 11. We know it, very familiar passage of scripture. And verse 3 is like my favorite one. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Okay? Notice this. Let's hear it. He said that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by the faith that God has given us, elders obtained a good report. Did it say that the elders obtained what they wanted? This is part of that letting the word be established. You don't lose what God promised. You just learn how to stir up the gift that's within you. Cause it to be structured correctly. Look at the next verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He framed what he was believing for, what he was hoping for, what he wanted to release in the atmosphere, what he wanted to be in the earth. He framed it. Now, I'm a carpenter by trade, and so I understand framing. That means that you go to the placement that you want the house or a structure to be, you go there and you develop the land so that you can then construct on the land. You frame what you want before you move in. You frame what you want before you claim what you want. I hope you heard that. You frame what you want before you claim what you want. You're going to have to take the time and connect the right junctions together. If you want the house to be a certain dimension, then you're going to have to connect one end of a dimensioned piece of material to another end of dimensioned piece of material so that you can end up with the frame that you want to continue the building process on. You can look at it and you can say, yes, if it's a house, my living room will be here. My bathroom will be here. My bedroom will be here. And since my bedroom is going to be here and my bathroom is going to be here, I'm going to have to put my plumbing here. See, I'm framing what I want to possess. I can't just claim it. I'm going to have to frame it. That might be one of the things that we missed in the process because we thought, you know, the blab it, grab it, and people got frustrated because they didn't see the results. They didn't spend enough time possibly framing it. See? In the process of framing, you're going to go back and you're going to confirm that this is where it's supposed to be. This is the elevation I need for it to be. See? Because I want to be able to look out of my picture window and see the vast horizon that God has given me. But if I don't frame it correctly, then I'm not going to see that. I can't put a wall where I want God's glory to be revealed in the earth. See, I have to take my time and frame it. I'm not moving in yet. Okay? At the framing process, you don't get to put the rugs down because you still don't have any walls yet. You still don't have the roof yet. You might have the roof line, but you don't have the material on the roof that's going to cause you to be dry when the rain comes. Okay? So you have to frame what you have claimed. And that, as I said, you take one a building material and you attach it to another dimensioned building material. All right? So that the outline that's there is correct. If you're going to have rooms for family members to come and to stay, you have to frame that. Okay? I'm taking my time here because some of us have quoted the word 2-3 times and then got frustrated because we didn't see what we were saying. Well, there's a process to building. Okay? Preparation of the ground, framing, the drawing of the what you want to build. Because the Bible says write it down, make it plain, so that they that see it can run with it. Write down the vision. Okay? Get it on paper so that you can review it, then you can actually implement what's on the paper. Because it comes out of your heart into your mind, out of your mind onto paper so that you can view it, so that you can then agree that this is what God has for you and you're going to pursue it. See, when you get it written down, then you can now pursue it because your heart, your mind is now going to agree with what your body is going to execute, what your body is going to build. And if that's a building by some contractor that you have, you still have the body of collecting the monies, the funds, and then putting the funds in his hands. You see? There has to be the process of building. Not just saying, but not taking the image in your heart and writing it down so that you can see it, so that you can review it over and over again. The more you review it, beloved, the more accurate you can then build it. Okay? Because when you first write it down, there might be things that you overlooked. But as you review it over and over again, you can see those things that, wait a minute, whoa, I'm going to have a little bit more power to make this house sufficient because I only put in this house a 30-amp breaker. I need a 100-amp breaker. I need a 200-amp breaker. See, as you review your plan or that which is written, and it's written not only on paper, it's written in your heart. So you go back and you revisit. You talk to God about it. See? And talk to him. I don't mean that you make requests. You ask him, is this sufficient for what you have for my life? Okay? Because if not, guess what, beloved? You're going to have to frame out something else, build something else, so that you can then possess that. Okay? You get to decorate your house. I think it's Proverbs chapter 14. It says that one of the ways that we do, let's just go over there. I think it's verse 1. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down. And then I think it's 27. Let me see this. Because there's another one here that's just good so that you can, yes, 24. It says that, verse 3. It says that through wisdom a house is builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the chamber shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. See? It's a process. Notice it says that through wisdom the house is built, and by understanding it's established. By knowledge, chambers are filled. The rooms are filled. But if you don't take the time to frame it, beloved, then you can't fill it. Okay? Just trying to get you to look at that. See, again, what I just did there is I just framed my heart's position to receive downloads of how the rooms are going to be filled with not just a little bit, beloved. He said they'll be filled with all pleasant riches. You might want to underline that, circle that, highlight that, color that in. Because this is the way that God wants you to participate in his plan. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. See, if you don't see it in your heart, possess it in your heart. Yes, you're going to release it out of your heart because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if you don't have the image developed there, let's say it this way. If the image is not developed there, God has limited things that he can work with. Because, there it is, because we understand through faith that the worlds, with an S, were framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen were not made of things that do appear. God has the ability to write on the table of your heart and expand the vision for you, cause the abundance, that overflow that he wants for you to happen so that he has more that he can then release in your life because you have framed it correctly. I hope you're getting this. See, there's more to it, and I guess we just didn't hear it. There's more to it than the name it, claim it. See, it's going to have to be the name it, frame it, claim it. See, okay, we'll even go further. Name it, frame it, then you're going to have to fill it, claim it. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, it's established. And by knowledge, the chamber shall be filled. Come on, y'all. See, do you see that God is utilizing wisdom, understanding, and knowledge for us to live, abide in the place that he said is ours? Okay? We're supposed to speak to wisdom, Proverbs chapter 7. There's, you're supposed to speak to wisdom and say to wisdom, you are my sister. You're supposed to say to understanding, you are my kinswoman. In other words, I'm going to have a good family relationship, an intimate family relationship with you so that you will be able to reveal to me the things that I need to believe God for, agree with God in. It's a process. And as we take time to operate in the process, then we'll be the one that are living in chambers or rooms that are filled with all pleasant riches. See, that's why you don't let the promise slip by just saying what you want and then don't get to see it because you didn't do the work that's required after that. You didn't frame it. Then build it. Then use wisdom and knowledge to fill it. You know, you can't get mad because you ain't got no bed in your house. Because your bed was not filled with the knowledge that God wanted to give to you. You just heard a good thing and went to demanding. See? It's not that God is trying to slow down the process. Thank you, sir. He's trying to make the process that which will be, that would last. He said, your chambers would be filled. Hallelujah. The word field that he's wanting us to get there, it means it will not be short of supply. It'll be filled. See? It'll last. You will have from that understanding how to then add additional rooms to the house, the dwelling place. You learn how to elevate the dwelling place. Okay? This is what he wants us to do. But we've been sometimes trying to approach it from, okay, I heard it, now I got to have it. And we didn't develop a heart that would listen to God in how it should be built, established, and then filled. I hadn't seen that. I forgot that we started this by letting every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Did you just hear what he did? See, wisdom speaks, understanding speaks, and it is then established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Yeah. So, you know, as you go to that, you have to get back to the point where I want my faith that is the substance of things hoped for to work. And it's going to be working out me having to see it naturally, evidenced. Okay, there we go. What I'm hoping for has evidence, even though I don't see it. Because the elders obtained a good report, and theirs was years, decades off. They sojourned in tents and the desert, not being able to. That we right there, we right there at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's finish that. See, because it says that they did this in verse. This is how it works. So then, since this is how it works, to understand. Look at what he says in verse 33. It says, through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. And they didn't get this all in one day. They went through the wilderness. They didn't, the other day someone mentioned that they didn't have to go through the wilderness because that was just what God wanted. They went through the wilderness because they didn't choose to believe God. And that's what happens to us. God speaks to us, shows us in the word that this is the plan and this is the path that he wants. And we start trying to walk and we get tripped up by, well, it ain't here now. Okay? We forgot that he said in verse chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, which comes right before chapter 11. See? God didn't speak in chapter and verse. Okay? He spoke so that we can have a premise for our life to operate by. Go back to chapter 10. I mean, it's just rich that when you go to the word of God, these are the things that he's already written down for us to see. How come we've been studying the word this long and missed the things that he was highlighting because we was trying to get what we wanted? Just some things to think about. He says, verse 35 of chapter 10, "For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." See? He says, "Cast not away," verse 35, "cast not away therefore your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Then you keep reading that. It says, "For yet a little while, he that will come will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." He says the just have to live by faith, not visit faith every once in a while. Not make demands on faith today and throw away your hope tomorrow. He said, you live by faith. See, I'm talking about the framing of this house. See, at putting one dimension building material to another dimension building material. There's stone in the building. There's wood in the building. There could be metal in a building. and your roof could be made out of a variety of things, asphalt, metal, but you have to know how to utilize each one of them appropriately. See? I might want a building that has stone on the front so that it can stand up to any of the storms. See? I might want to have the building that the top of the roof made out of things that are a little bit lighter so I can get them up there and they can be supported. So I can use wood up there covered by the asphalt that we use now or the tin or the metal that we use now. See? If you build it right, beloved, it'll last and you will enjoy it. Says, for the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not those that are draw back unto perdition, but we are those that believe unto the saving of the soul. Now faith is the see, it goes together. It was connected. See? So he's telling you that your patience is going to be needed because if you don't have patience, you're going to give up on the promise. You're going to let go of the faith that you already started with. I love God. He starts us with the thing that will cause what we need to be in our lives. Now the just shall live by his faith. See? And he's given to every man the measure of faith. So it's not like some of us can get it and some of us can't. No, he's given to every man the measure of faith. Will we become disciplined in how we use and build the faith? Timothy says we can add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. See, that's building on your faith so that you will be in a position that you won't have any need. Okay, I keep saying these things. You go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 just so that you can see it. Go back and study it when you can because I can go into these passages of Scripture and just stay there. See? Verse 2 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our and Jesus our Lord. Wait a minute. It says grace and peace is going to be multiplied. That tells me that God's not the one trying to do it on the slow scale. Grace and peace is going to be multiplied. Grace is sufficient, and peace causes the devil to be bruised under my heel shortly. He's going to multiply grace by peace. Wow. I love God's math system. He didn't say he's going to add. He tells us that. Come on. He tells us to add later on down here. But he said he wants to multiply. Glory to God. See? When my heart connected to him, not judging him or demanding, but just wanting to fellowship with him, then he will open up secrets. He will show me great and mighty things that I don't know. Continuing here, he says, through the verse 3, according to as his divine power hath given unto us all things, hath past tense, given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So the more you have knowledge of him, become intimate with him, frame your images by what he's revealing. The more you do that, you accelerate. Grace and peace is multiplied. You accelerate the process because of the knowledge of him. He says, who has called us unto virtue, glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these precious promises we might be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption of the world that's in the world through lust. And besides this, add it to your faith. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and they abound, they will make it that you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we build or frame correctly, see, as we utilize the conversations that wisdom is going to have to show me how to build the house, that understanding is going to have to cause me to establish the house. See, that knowledge is going to have to cause me to house or put the furnishings in there that I want. Pleasant, all of the pleasant riches. See, I'll begin to hear the conversations of heaven more than I hear the conversations of flesh. Glory to God. See? Because I don't have to then make demands of God. I could talk to him about it. Lord, this is what you want? This is what you're doing? Thank you. I see that clearly. Now, that tells me what material I get to connect with it. I don't need to get that short piece that I was thinking about. I need to get a longer piece. I need to get a bigger piece so that I can then have the framing correct. Through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. You know, the question then becomes, what are you framing your image on? See? Are you framing it upon your own lust? Or are you framing it upon the word of God? Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. I build as I grow. And as I grow, I build better. Did you get that? I build as I grow. And as I grow, I build better. See, I'm framing this thing so that it can last, so that it will then be a monument and testimony of the goodness of God. See? Through faith, we understand Hebrews chapter 11. Again, I gave you the scriptures that you can look at after the fact. You can go back to them. Whatever God has given me, beloved, I believe he'll give it to you. It's his word. It didn't change because I saw it. I saw it and it changed me. Amen. See? And so then you can go back and review. You can go back and mutter over it again. See, that's what he told Joshua. If I can get you to just meditate in this word day and night, you will then see, observe to do. You will see how to do what I'm calling you to do. I know you got a bunch of people that are hard-headed. I know I'm taking you to a land you never see, but if you would hearken diligently, meditate on the word day and night, you will then see how to do it. You will see how to do it the way God intended you to do it, and this is good. He did not intend for you to sweat over it, beloved. Amen. He wants us to live a life without sweat. Sweat came as a result of the cross, of the curse. But the cross nullified the curse. That's what he told Adam. He said, now you're going to have to live by the sweat of your brow. So then my question would be, how did he live before? Now the just shall live by faith. See, the way that it worked in Adam is that he would see the image in his heart, and then he would release words of faith, and that which was released, now the earth would yield its fruit. Amen. Everything that we've needed was already here. There is nothing new under the sun. How to attain it might be different for you now because you're the one that's walking out being redeemed. See? The devil's going to try to make you live from the position of lack. You were never supposed to live from the position of lack. God set it up so that everything man needed was here before the man was. Amen. On day six, God invited man into that which was good. Excuse me. He invited man into that which was good. See, he did not invite man into that which was half finished, that which was undone. See, he invited him into that which was finished. And then he told the man, just go be fruitful. He didn't say make fruit. He said be fruitful. He said multiply. You already have what you need. You don't have to add and subtract your way through life. Multiply. Because it's already there. Grace and peace multiplies. You can also multiply. Have dominion. You don't have to go find dominion. Have it. Replenish the earth. See? He didn't tell you to go and create some. He said replenish. The word re means to do again. So the earth must have been plenished. Amen. Then he said, subdue. You already in the position to rule. You're not in the position to beg. Okay? You're already in the position to rule. That's the way he set it up. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed so that the plan of God could flow in our lives perpetually, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. See, we've got to get back to what God intended from the beginning. Stop looking at things around you for your supply. Look in you for your supply, because that's how the Bible says it's going to be met. God, my God, shall supply all your need, not some of your need, all of your need. It's singular there. It's not needs. It's he supply all of your need by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And where is Christ Jesus? In me. This was his plan. He set this up. I didn't. We just get to enjoy it. So we've got to stop looking on the outside to find the life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He transferred things. He's called us out of darkness and into the kingdom of his son, that is marvelous light. He's transferred us out of darkness. Marvelous light, y'all. Not sometime light. Marvelous light. The version that we see, wow, the version that we see for our supply comes from a marvelous position. I'm hoping that you're getting this. See? Because we have been duped by the devil, circumstances and situations, to think that we have to beg God to do something, or that we have to go and work rather than have faith to believe for it. Again, wisdom builds the house, and then understanding causes you to establish the house. And then knowledge causes you to fill the house. Okay? Verse 24. So we saw that. You can write that and go back and get to that and begin to align your heart with the word of God from that position. Okay? Through faith, we understand. So that tells me again, I like it, because that means God does not want me to be without knowledge, without understanding. But he wants me to understand through faith. Okay? I should not try to understand or perceive my life through pressure. Okay? See, through faith we understand. See, I'm not going to be taught by pressure. Amen. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And when you do that, he says, then you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, this is what the transfer was all about. So then I understand through faith that I have to frame. I have to frame. Jesus is the author and developer of my faith, but I have to assist. I'm a co-laborer with him. So then I'm going to have to use the word of God and frame my house. Jesus, through wisdom, through understanding, through knowledge, is going to develop it. Because that is already something that is established. See? Every word is going to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I'm finding places in Scripture that establishes that word, that establishes that promise. I'm framing. See? I'm taking my time to frame. I'm not trying to go live in a house tomorrow. I'm still in the process of framing. See? And I'm talking to God about my frame. You know, it's interesting, you know, sometimes when we are requesting things of God, we don't even make room for God in the thing we're asking for. You know, I get it. You know, Lord, I need a new car. Well, did you make room for God in the car? So that he can use the car when he wants to. If he wants to go and pick up everybody that doesn't have a transportation for one day, you go do that. See, you made room for God in the car. And then after we have done the thing that's pleasing to God, and he says, sow the car into somebody else's life, did we make room for God in the thing we're believing God for? Just a question. Just ask it. Jesus is the author and the developer of our faith. But he's also the door. This is what it says. And you notice in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, it's just so many things that have been tied together here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, who's the author of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So look at the framing that Jesus is doing. He set joy of our salvation before him so that he could endure the cross. See? He is asking us to build the same way. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that we're supposed to pattern ourselves after. So he set before him joy that would help him endure the cross, causing him to be able to despise the same, and is now set down in the joy place that God made for him at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting for us to get it, waiting for us to understand what he is the author and finisher of, that he builds everything by joy that was set before him, not by what he was going through right now. But since we don't have what we think we're supposed to have, we didn't set the joy before us. Selah. See, because if we ever find out, that my pastor used to, you know, say these things, and the first time I heard it, I just thought he was like, what? How you get that? But he would say things to us. He'd say that we were judging God. How you going to judge God? Yeah, we didn't think God was coming through, doing what we wanted him to do. Okay? And I would hear that, and I like I said, first couple of times I heard it, I'd say, no, I don't know. But the more I lived, I said, Lord, look at me. I just judged you again. I just judged love. How wild is that? Without him, I would have no breath. And here I am taking my breath. Let everything that have breath praise. I'm taking my breath and I'm judging. He would say things like that, you know, and I began to understand it. And then he would, you know, say, yeah, you're bitter at God. And, you know, after you hear it about 10 times, you go, maybe he needs to say something else. No, he didn't, because he was telling the truth. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. So if it was happening in my life, hello, it was common to man. And he was trying to get us to understand that, okay, y'all, God's way of doing things is that you frame it with faith. You don't frame it just because of a desire. You don't frame it because of love, lust. I mean, you frame it because of love. It might take extra building material pieces for you to frame it with love. Because, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. In other words, you have to build things up so that love will stop that multitude of sin from entering into your heart, to your thinking. Glory to God. Build a barrier between you and that multitude of sin. I don't judge as easily. Okay? Because I'm going to say, no. I'm going to build. Wisdom is saying I'm supposed to use love to just live by faith. So I'm going to build with love. Jesus said, this is how they will know that you are my disciples, because you're building with love. But you didn't see what they did? Yeah, that means I need to go get another member of love, another building material that love has. I might have to get some of that stone love, not stone that's cold, stone that is impenetrable. I need to build that and put that on the outside so that sin does not get in. Because he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I mean, there are people that have walked with God for years and they still are dealing with the same issues. Maybe they didn't take the building material of love and put a barrier between judgment and their heart. Set that sin aside that does so easily beset us. And then begin to move. Run, he said. Run with patience. In other words, patience is going to be in front of you asking you to catch up. Run with patience. Glory to God. Move with the cloud. See? I recognize that he wants us to do that so that we can then be able to receive more of his love, more of his presence. If I'm building my house and I got judgment in the house, that place where judgment resides, then God cannot abide there. See? Run with patience or follow peace. Okay? With all men. Because if I don't follow peace, if I don't follow holiness, I will not see the Lord. I will not experience him at the fullness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God, throne of God. Consider him that endured the same contradiction of sinners that you do. People will say they love you and treat you bad. Those are the same people that said, Hosanna, 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 are some of the same people that said, crucify him. A great contradiction of sinners. He says, if you don't consider him, align your thinking that way, what will happen is that you're going to be weary and you're going to faint in your mind. You're going to start thinking stupid stuff. See? You're going to try to address things from the perspective of what I like and what I don't like. You know, if I build my house correctly, then the things that were coming against it won't get inside to me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and righteous people are supposed to be found on the inside, not on the outside, pointing the fingers at one another. Hey, he did. They said, no. I'm hiding on the inside. I'm fellowshipping with joy. Glory to God. He said, that's the way I'm supposed to draw salvation out. I'm supposed to draw out salvation out of the well of salvation. I'm supposed to draw it out with joy. With joy, draw it out. So I'm going inside and fellowship with joy. See? I'm going to go to the place where Jesus abides. See? He wants me to be safe on the inside. Is it not Christ in you, the hope of glory? So then the wise thing would be to do is to go where Christ is so that glory's hope can be released. You know something that will happen? As you release joy, hope, and faith, and the people that were coming against you run into that, that will cause them to become soft in their heart. They won't be stout against you. They'll want what you have. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher. Yeah, the song is, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for all the world to see. Because if he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. He's wanting to use us as the salt that preserves the earth. He doesn't want us to be bitter, which salt is. He wants us to be salt that draws people to him, that preserves people. So our job is real easy. See, this is a faithful word. God released it for you to hear so that you can walk in it, so that you can abide in it. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Okay? We're going to learn how to frame the word. When you frame the image that's on the inside of you, a framed image is going to be protected. See, framing the image protects the seed, and the seed is the word of God. We all know that the devil's going to do things to try to move you away from your position. Okay? Let's watch that in Mark chapter 4. And if you would, I might not have time to go through the whole thing today. Just read from verse 13. The whole chapter is the same, okay? I'm going to start at verse 13 because he's going to then explain what he said in the first 12 verses, okay? Read it and understand it. Verse 13 starts from here. He says, the sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard the word, Satan cometh when? He cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown. I would like for you to circle that, that was sown, which tells me they had the word. Knowing what to do with it, another issue. But what they needed, they had. Okay? That's important because sometimes we feel like we don't have the patience to do. No. God gave you the patience. And it's inside of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's inside of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So then we will do ourselves harm by thinking that I am lacking what I need. In development and or growth, natural and spiritual. Okay, all right. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Again, both sightings here have people that heard the word. Okay, they received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. So the word is looking for a place in your heart that you can allow it to settle. If you're mad, angry, frustrated, bitter, then what happens is you have no place for the word that you just heard to settle. Okay? And it says they have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Please note that the affliction and the persecution did not come for you. It came for the word. The devil's trying to get your ability to be fruitful nullified. Okay? Know that. God gave you what you needed. A word then comes to you. A faithful word hits your ears. And as that word hits your ears, the devil's going to try to cause you to think, well, that ain't going to work. And because it looks like it doesn't work, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Notice what happened there. I mean, there are but five things that the devil can use, and he cited them right there for us, okay? It says they are in order so you can get it. They are affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. That's it. He don't got nothing else he can use. And notice what has to happen. They have to enter in. The word came into your heart, and it didn't have a place to rest. But if you allow more of what you already had in there, then the word is going to become unfruitful. The word that you just heard, the word of deliverance that God just spoke to you, it becometh unfruitful. You already had frustrations, the bitterness in there, so that the word didn't have a place to sit, to rest. But now, after the word came in, then the devil brings the other things, the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, they enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive the word, and the word brings forth fruit. Amen. This was not work that you had to do. All you had to do was protect the word, frame around the word, because you're framing your world by faith. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed. So you frame your world by faith. And what you frame, protect, it says that that word then brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Then he kept on telling them how this thing works, okay? He says, a candle is not brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed. It's there so that you can be set it on a place that helps you see more around you. A candlestick. So he's asking us there, are we going to hide the word from our use, or are we going to make the word that which gives us use? When you can see, you know what to use. A candle is supposed to be set in a place where you can use it, where it causes you to have increase. You can see better. You don't think about what you don't have because you just got to see what you do have. Okay. All right. Then it says, for there's nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither is there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Any man has ears, please hear. Hear the parables. Because he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. You will understand that the seed that God just gave you is the increase needed for the rest of your life. Okay. So he said, take heed what you hear, because the way you use the thing will be the way the thing will bring into your life what you need. What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear, it more shall be given. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, he just obliterated everything the devil could do. He said, please pay attention to what you hear. Listen to what I said. Because the way you use what I said, whatever you measure, the measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you. You cannot get out what you did not put in. You can't apply nothing and get something. You're going to have to work it. I'm giving you a light that you can use and put on a candlestick. Put the light above where you were sitting so that you can see around you differently. He wants the candlestick, the word, to change your view. See? And he says that when you have a different view, listen at what wisdom is now saying, what understanding is now saying, what knowledge is now saying. For he that to him that hath shall more be given, and from him that hath not, if you decide not to use it, then he says, it shall be taken away from you. So I'm asking some questions, you know, how much word are we sitting on? I'm not using. I mean, not applying it to the way, to the extent where God wants it to be applied. I'm not loving. I'm not forgiving, even though I know the word said, forgive. I keep reminding God of what they did. I keep reminding God of what they said. Or I keep reminding other people that I want to take my side what they did and what they said. I invite bitterness back in my heart through their word now. When God sent me a word of deliverance, I said I'd rather listen at the word that they have for me, because they're going to tell me I'm justified in my feelings. It says if you hear, you'll be given more. If you don't use what you hear, that which you heard, shall be taken away. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast the seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because harvest is come. All right, let's dig into that one for a second. Notice what he said here. He said, if a man, he did not say if a farmer, did he? So you don't have to know how to farm, he said. He said, all you need to do, the seed into the ground. He did not say, let the seed drop on the ground. Okay? He said, if you have confidence in the seed, then plant the seed. And he says, and when you plant the seed, no, it's not about you. He said, you can go to rest now. Okay, the maturation steps are the same here. They will always be the same. First the seed, then rest. The man did not know how. Listen, look at what it says. He cast the seed into the ground. He went to sleep. And he got up day and night. And he said the seed sprung up and grew. It didn't say the man made the seed grow. He didn't know how, did he? I have to have confidence in the seed. And he said, I put the seed in the ground and I start resting in that I'm going to have fruit. Now, I don't need to go and pull the seed up every day to see if the seed is working, because if I do, I didn't rest, did I? These are the steps of maturation here. I can't put the seed in the ground, then I rest. And then I don't have to know how the seed is working. I just know that the word that was spoken and is now protected in my heart. You know, I did this process, and I would just go over and say what the word said, go over and put the word in there, water the word, go over. And I saw that the seed worked on a situation that I didn't even know the seed was working on. I didn't check that relationship. I just said, okay, God, you said forgive. And so I forgave. So I didn't go back and check to see how they're going to treat me today. I didn't dismiss them. I just wasn't trying to see the seed that I planted work in that situation. I let God do it. And then a little while later, the person called me and asked me to forgive him. I said, I've already done that. I did that almost a year ago, because I had went through a process of knowing that, maybe you being stupid, you are now keeping the, going back and seeing if the word is working. Is he going to act like today? And I stopped that. That's madness. So I let it go. I said, God, I forgive. And then God had him to call me and ask me to forgive him. I said, it's already been done. See, I didn't know how the seed was working. Okay? And it says, for the earth or the heart brings forth fruit of itself. Your heart is working to bring forth the fruit. You don't need to engage your mind to go see if it's working. The heart. I love that. The word earth, if you would take the H at the back of the word and put the H at the front of the word, you would have the word heart. So heart and earth are interchangeable words. And he says, the heart will bring forth fruit of itself. If you will protect the seed that's in there, the heart will bring forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. It'll be a little something at first, and you might think that's nothing. But keep observing it, and you will see the ear. And then you'll see the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it forth the sickle. So when the fruit is there, please know this, the fruit that's there at harvest time, there's also work at harvest time. If you don't then take the fruit and cause the fruit that has now come forth to be stored in your heart so that you know what you can reach for to utilize in other situations. When the next somebody says something against you, you go and you partake of the fruit that is now grown. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He says, then you go ahead and put the sickle in. Prepare to use it all the time. See? It won't be something that you'll just use for one person and forget the process of how you did it. The maturation is always the same. The seed, the rest, time, then the favor, because you didn't do anything to cause it to happen. And then the process of fruit, the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear, and now work the harvest. Oh, beloved, God is wanting us to learn these principles, use these principles. This is a faithful word. And as we use it, it will become an active word and then a confirmed word. I'll try to dig into the active word part next week. So we're looking for you on the same bat time, on the same bat channel. Allow God to grow us up so that this becomes our norm. See? That we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So we're framing the place that we want to live in. We're framing the results we want to enjoy. And we're still going to have to build the rest of the house. The walls are going to have to go up. The roof is going to have to be set in place. The windows are going to have to be set in place. And yes, the doors are going to have to be set in place. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you. We thank you for your word that you've given us the understanding of what to frame, how to frame. And then wisdom is going to speak to us and cause us to be able to build correctly. Understanding is going to cause us to establish correctly. And then knowledge is going to cause us to fill the rooms with all pleasant riches. Thank you, Father, for causing us to see your pattern, to see your way, so that we can walk in it and produce the fruit that you desire. We commit it to you now, it's done. In the master's name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wow. Well, as we always do, we give you an opportunity to ask any questions or make any comments that you might have. Area code 770-964-7501. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Go ahead.
No question. No question. Just enjoyed everything that I heard. So it's very good, and it's like a refresher course and make you realize what we have and what we need to do with it. So I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being on the call. It was my joy to give it to you. Amen. Area code 770-843-1578. Excuse me. You have the call.
843-1578.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, how are you doing?
You know, I'm blessed.
Again, this is quite a blessing, and I really enjoyed it, and I need to keep receiving more and more of this. Thank you very much.
Amen. 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 Glad to do it. That's what I'm here for. Amen. And then I see what happens. God's going to have to reveal to me how to stop that. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And when I give people an opportunity to share, give their testimony, they maybe shy back because they don't want to appear like they don't understand or shallow or anything. This is the way we grow. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. So if this ministry has been a blessing to you, and for those that would hear it later, if it's your challenge to grow in any way, please allow God to reveal to you how you can be a blessing to this ministry through the giving of tithes, gifts, and offerings. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, find the donate tab, and sow your seed. Because we're only on the air because of generous gifts and love offerings of those cyber members or those that are visitors to livedeliverance.com. And we want to thank you for seeking the Lord and partnering with us to take the gospel to the whole world. Also, we'd like to remind you that you can invite your friends, family members, and coworkers to join us right here where they can learn, listen, and participate on the broadcast every Monday night from 9 to about 10:30 as we all grow in faith, fellowship, and in the spirit here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Love y'all. Be blessed.